This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's Thursday, the 30th of March. I'm Shazana Mukhtar with Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's talk about the health of our economy and our central bank. Bank Negara released its annual report yesterday and projects the economy to grow between 4 and 5% in 2023. This is thanks to the improving labor market, continued implementation of multi-year investment projects, and higher tourism activity, which in turn will support private consumption and investment growth.
Meanwhile, the central bank also expects headline and core inflation to average between 2.8 and 3.8% this year. The report notes that inflation is expected to moderate due to low price of commodities, but of course remains tilted to the upside. Now, additionally, Bank Negara also released its financial stability review for the second half of last year, where it cautioned that increasing vulnerabilities are emerging among household borrowers that are highly leveraged and have limited financial buffers. The review showed that while household debt to GDP ratio has fallen to 81.2%, the low savings of some borrowers also put them at risk.
How will these factors affect Malaysia's economic development moving forward? To help us unpack the data-rich report, we have on the line with us Julia Goh, Senior Economist of UOB Malaysia. Good morning, Julia. Thanks very much for joining us today. Let's start with the cliff notes, the summary of sorts. Give us your key takeaways from Bank Negara's annual report.
Good morning. Yes, it was a lot to digest. But I think four key items that caught our attention. I think the first two was already mentioned. Firstly, the GDP growth projected at 4 to 5%, which we see as encouraging despite the mounting headwinds. And as Bank Negara pointed, they see a balance of upside and downside risk for growth. Second is inflation, projected at 2.8 to 3.8%. And this is consistent with the projections in the retabled budget. So although inflation, as they said, could see a moderating trend, but they caution that there are signs of persistent inflation. Inflation is expected to stay elevated in the near term, and more so as subsidies are gradually removed. Now, thirdly, I think related more to the banks and financial markets is financial stability, given the recent market turmoil. And to that, I think Bank Negara stressed that they do not see a similar crisis brewing in Malaysia. Local banks are well capitalized, and even under severe stress scenarios, banks' capital ratios are still adequate and above the minimum thresholds. Right. Fourthly, I think this is important for bond investors because Bank Negara clarified that Malaysia will follow the Financial Stability Board in terms of recognizing 81 bondholders before equity holders. So it sounds technical, but I think it was something necessary to clarify after what happened with Credit Suisse. And I think it's important because it helps to shore up confidence, especially for institutional and retail investors. Now, I think above all else, I think one thing that came out was Bank Negara has urged the government to implement more reforms to help the country's competitiveness, boost potential growth. And I think they've highlighted six key areas that would need the reforms, and namely digitalization, fiscal, climate, growth, the workforce, upskilling the workforce, and also social protection.
Meanwhile, Bank Negara, of course, said that the GDP is expected to grow between 4 to 5% in 2023, supported by firm domestic demand. How does this compare with your in-house numbers, though, Julia?
We projected GDP at 4%, so that's on the lower end of Bank Negara's range. Simply, we were more cautious with the forecast, given that we've been seeing several external headwinds since last year. And also, we expect that the benefits from China's recovery may only come through more meaningfully in the second half. So generally, we were just more conservative.
Are you going to keep to your numbers, though, at 4%?
Well, we'll see what the first quarter GDP looks like. But certainly, there are potential upsides. But I think given the recent market uncertainties, I think we will keep our numbers for now.
And earlier you were talking about inflation, Julia, and the indications from the bank that they were set to see persistent inflation of between 2.8 to 3.8%. What do you think this will do to Bank Negara's monetary policy? How many more rate hikes can we expect this year?
Okay. Actually, the persistence of inflation seems to be a common observation across many countries, right? So for Malaysia, it's not unique. It probably also is partly because there is also anticipation of some subsidy removals in the second half, right? And I think the issue on that is the timing and how it will be implemented, right? So given that we see persistent inflation, a positive growth of 4 to 5%, financial stability is intact. So we think that as far as interest rates are concerned, we think there is room for perhaps one more rate hike before the hiking cycle ends. And that would take the overnight policy rate back to the pre-pandemic level of 3%. And we think that it's not overly restrictive at that level. I think at that level, it would still be considered accommodative.
Okay, let's talk about this AT1 bonds, right? And the reassurance that Bank Negara has said that it ranks higher than equities. But if we just look at the whole banking crisis, do you see any significant impact it might have on the Malaysian economy or even on the banking system?
So we see the issues in US and Europe banks as a crisis of confidence. So any spillover effects to this region and Malaysia, I think, would stem from confidence issues, right? But I think what helped was the speed at which authorities over there and ring-fencing the problem. And I think it further reinforced by the liquidity backstop. So all that has helped shore confidence, ring-fence the risks, and also the contagion effects. Now, I think domestically, it's reassuring. We've heard from Bank Negara the strength of the domestic financial sector. We've seen it from the market performance, aside from the days when the equities was down. But other than that, bond yields were also still relatively stable. In fact, we saw that the foreign holdings of Malaysia's bonds actually were stable or, in fact, inched up a little bit since the crisis started in early March. And I think generally for Malaysian banks, they have a more conservative strategy with capital. So I think that also has helped to calm markets. And I think going forward, in terms of lending, borrowing activity, I think that will also help to keep conditions stable and supportive of the economic growth.
What do you make of, the data on household debt? Well, we have seen household debt fall from 84.5% last year to about 81.2% now. But at the same time, the bank also noted the low savings of some borrowers that could put them at risk. How much do you think this weighs down on the on economic growth?
Yep. So household debt to GDP ratio fell, but the absolute household debt level actually rose at a faster rate of 5.5%. It was largely driven by housing loans, car loans, and credit card loans. So I think overall, yes, they're indebted, but I think the upside is that housing loans are asset-backed and the asset-to-debt ratio for households is still above 2x. That's a positive. But I think this whole issue of the household debt ratio, low savings, I think it's all related to the structural problem of low wages for certain groups. So all this does circle back to how Malaysia needs to find ways to upskill, to increase the median wages of these lower income groups.
So Julia, just to help us wrap up, what can we expect in terms of the key drivers of the economy and what are some of the headwinds that you expect? Are they more domestic driven or are they more external driven?
I think given that there are more external headwinds, I think a lot of the drivers for growth this year will be domestic. I think labor conditions, wage growth. I mean, so far we've seen that the labor market employment is still improving. Of course, another domestic driver is stronger tourism, hopefully with more China or more tourists coming back in the second half. The investment projects, we saw very strong investment approvals last year. So hopefully that will actually feed through into our investment numbers this year. So hopefully all in with these domestic drivers will help to cushion some of those external headwinds that we've been seeing.
All right, Julia, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Julia Goh, Senior Economist at UOB Malaysia, giving us the key takeaways from Bank Negara's annual report. A lot there to take in and really digest, but this does give an indicator of where the economy is headed and some of the areas, policy areas that the government needs to look at in order to ensure that our growth trajectory remains on the upward trend.
Yeah, so those six reforms that the government should be really focusing on, I think it's something that should be paid attention to. Now, I think the financial stability report is the part that worries me a little bit in terms of the household debt, because if you look at it in greater detail, right, basically, according to this Edge Daily, I'm looking 65% of household borrowers at risk of defaulting, partially because they just earn too little and they have too much in terms of debt. Now, how do we resolve this, right? So Julia says, of course, one of which is just the fact that our wages are too low. But this is a structural issue again and again that we don't seem to have a solution for.
Right.
Or an easy solution for.
There is no easy solution. Ultimately, whatever we decide to do, it is going to result in short-term pain. Mm. But the idea is, in the longer term, it will help our wages grow more rapidly overall.
But yeah. I think the other positive, of course, which is a good takeaway from the briefing yesterday and the annual report, is, of course, the stress test shows that Malaysian banks are able to withstand significant financial shocks. That's very critical. Banks are a barometer of economic growth. Banks, in terms of how much confidence you have, in terms of the banks, it really depends on the stress test, right? That shows that everything is hunky-dory for the moment. But, you know, is the banking crisis overseas over?
I think that's the big question that everyone's asking, right? I mean, we have seen murmurs around Deutsche Bank most recently. Will there be other banks also coming into the fray? That's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, because currently as it stands, right, our capital ratios in the banks are still very, very high. We're talking about 16.1% in 2023, going to recover to 16.5% in 2024 and then 16.7% in 2025. Now, this is extremely high even if you compare with other regional banks. So our Malaysian banks definitely going to be well capitalized. But I'm curious whether this will then spark, you know, some activity, some M&A in this space, like what we saw with Credit Suisse and UBS. I'm sure banks are going, is it time to relook at mergers and acquisitions?
Yeah, there hasn't really been any major M&As in recent years, has there?
No, not in the Malaysian banking space, but right. You never know.
Okay, 8:48 in the morning. We're taking.
Oh, I lie. There are some, but very not significant. There are. Just my mind cannot.
You stand corrected.
I stand corrected. Listeners, if you know, tell me which ones.
Nothing to the level of Credit Suisse and UBS, no. For example. All right, 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we're going to discuss the impact of the IMF bailout for Sri Lanka. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.